Welcome to Fairly Critical, the podcast where we get together and talk about movies and books and beer and all sorts of good things. I'm Brian Watkins.
And I'm Jamie Lara.
And this week we are here to talk about the movie Her.
Her. There was this rash of films here at the end of 2013 that came out and just really hit big.
Yeah.
Some real powerful films that came out here, and this is one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's funny how many right at the end of the year are up for Oscars.
Yeah. And they dominated Golden Globes, and they're all pretty serious drama stuff going on. And this one certainly is up there. Heavy drama.
Yeah, very, very heavy, very emotional, and not exactly what I was expecting based on the premise. So right. For anybody who hasn't tuned in before, this is a spoiler-ridden podcast. We're going to tell you all sorts of the good, the bad, and the ugly about this movie. And if you haven't seen it yet, you should watch the movie and then come back and take a listen. So let's get into it, Jamie. Let's talk a little bit about the premise of the movie.
Right. So here it is, a not too distant future.
Not too distant future.
And we get some kind of cool looking environment, you know, what looks like what we had hoped what technology would do for our society and kind of make things look a little slicker and cooler. And but it still looks like what we're familiar with as far as cityscapes, and that's where our main character, what's his first name?
Joaquin?
Yeah, what's his
name? Oh, in the movie?
Yeah,
his last name is Theodore.
Theodore Toomley.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is where he lives. And he's a man who just got a new computer operating system, and the newest thing is that they make these operating systems, the AI is super intuitive, and it's a voice-activated thing that you actually communicate with. In the end, it basically becomes kind of like a friend, and it can make it male or female, and it caters to you to whatever your needs are.
Right, so when he starts setting it up, it's asking him all these questions, which I thought was funny because the thing that was asking him questions was not as it was what you would expect that operating system to be, where it kind of kept cutting him off and like, you know, and then all of a sudden, once his operating system is customized, it comes in and it's like talking to a friend. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was interesting because I kind of felt like that was a foreshadowing of. The way it was cutting him off was a foreshadowing of going how advanced it was.
Right.
Because it was like, look, it was already even telling by the inflection. Like, you know, I sensed hesitancy in your voice. And, you know, and that kind of, to me, that was a key part of this film was that, you know, of what was to come. Because there was a certain, the intuitiveness was beyond just an intuitiveness in a computer language. It became an intuitiveness of human nature.
Sure.
And that will figure largely in this film as people who have seen it know, and people who haven't will find out.
Yeah, and I mean, to take it back to before he gets the operating system, they give us a good look at his life. And, you know, we find out right away that he's been through a breakup. We find out later how serious it was. They kind of downplay it, I think, at the beginning, more because I think he doesn't have very close personal relationships. So there's no one to really talk to him too much about it, except for his neighbors, which we find out later was like his best friend from college.
Right.
Amy Adams.
Yeah, and they'd actually maybe even dated for a moment, he said.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really work out. They were more friends than anything.
It was funny because like his job is writing letters for people. So
right.
People send him like an email that says, hey, I'm here, I'm writing a letter to my wife about this, but they don't give any detail. And then he writes the letter for them and it gets sent as like a nice handwritten letter, which I thought was kind of funny because it almost shows like maybe that the culture has gotten a little bit impersonal. Which is kind of key to how or why this operating system might have been such a big attraction to people is because the culture is kind of, you know, oh yeah, you know how I feel. Just I'll let this person tell you.
It is interesting that right off the bat, I think that's one of the first thing you see is him at his computer talking to it and it's writing those words. And that's the thing is at the outset, you think he's talking to some loved one.
Right.
Because you see his face. And then it pulls back to reveal that what he's doing is he's speaking into the computer and the computer, it has a simulated piece of paper, and it is writing with like what looks like handwriting script or cursive, this letter that's supposed to be a personal letter from this other person to that person's significant other.
Yeah, which I mean, great that we can still read cursive in the future.
Yes, right, because they're not teaching it in the schools
anymore. So
it's really strange that, but you know, it is interesting that you bring up that point because it really does set things up. It's a plausible future rather than going, you know, with these other movies that say, hey, this is what our future could be, and going like, hey, here's the technology. This was a commentary on what our social life is like, will be like in the near future, and could be because of the depersonalization of the internet, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, that alone makes it so you can already exist in some sort of cyberspace or virtual connection. And I think that's a really good point to make because there's a reason why that's the first thing they show. And that, I mean, he could have had any job in a way, but why was it important that he had this job?
Right. And that he's actually really good at it, which shows that, you know, he has kind of that ability to be sensitive and to, you know, emote. Mm-hmm. But yet we find that he's alone and he doesn't really talk to anybody. I mean, he's Chris Pratt, who was the guy working the front desk at his job, I thought was hilarious when he's walking out and he's like, oh, great letters today, man.
Yeah.
Great. Right. I wish somebody would write me a letter like that.
Right. You know, and it's funny because I mean, we'll get into this later possibly, but one of the things that hit me by the end of this film was what was the significance of him actually having a human girlfriend, and then that she was even at work sitting on his lap later.
Right.
You know, there's something there. But what's more important to say, I think, at this point is that, you know, to say that Joaquin Phoenix turned in a stellar performance is an understatement, and not in the sense that I feel like I really need to laud it, that it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. But what a genuine portrayal of a character that was complicated because he makes it seem effortless.
Right. I totally agree.
And the problem is, you know, that most people won't appreciate, what I fear most people won't appreciate, I should say, is that the nuance of the awkwardness of this particular character and how there's a sense of loss and kind of futility and, you know, just not lost so much, because it's like there's his breakup, but there's a disconnection in this character and kind of like a melancholy that to him that had to be done right. And man, did I not expect the level of performance that he delivers on this. He was nominated for a Golden Globe and didn't win it.
Oh, who won it?
I don't remember. I think it was one of these other more flashy roles.
Boo.
But I think he should win the Oscar. I think if I was the Academy, I can't see anything even coming close. But that's, again, you have to understand, and this is where I think this is worthwhile talking about, because this movie can get criticized by a male that doesn't understand the sensitivity of it. You know, if you're one of those kinds of people who's not into touchy feely and you can't handle that, you're not going to like this movie. I'm sorry, because there's some serious shedding of feelings in this movie that are pretty raw, but beautiful.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey won. That's a fail.
He's good too. Don't get me wrong.
I didn't watch Dallas Buyers Club,
and I didn't see it. I'm sure he's awesome, but but I'll tell you what.
What I like about these houses in Dallas, I get older, they stay the same age. Sorry.
Is that a line from that movie?
No. It was, I'm sorry. It was Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, sorry.
I thought it sounded kind of familiar. That's all right. We can geek out on other films. Anyway, so back to this. I just wanted to get that out there, that Joaquin Phoenix, his performance in this, and that's not to take anything away from Scarlett Johansson, who does the voice of the computer.
Which is probably one of the best, like, voice performances that I've heard.
Oh, gosh. Especially for the type of conversations they're having.
Yeah. I mean, the emotion that it's portrayed just in the voice, you know, that she did was crazy.
Well, and this is the thing. Like you said, it wasn't what you thought. And this is what I felt, too, is, like, having seen the trailer, I wanted to see it, but for a whole other reason. And it was not like what I thought it was, because there was that movie with Al Pacino or Simone.
Yeah, Simone.
And that was a little bit more whimsical and had some other things going on. This is not that movie. And what really makes it unique is that, and why I feel like it was a really brilliant and original screenplay, is the fact that you have Scarlett Johansson, who you don't see.
Ever. Which Ever. Surprised me. I kept expecting her to either make a digital representation of herself
right.
or get a body. Yeah. So, that's where I thought it was going. I was for sure that by the end of the movie, she was going to have like some kind of a cyber body.
Yeah. Know. Now, so you hear her and don't see her.
Right.
So that right there is a taxing performance. You have to like convince someone with just the sound of your voice, how you're emoting the feelings of this character. Now, you might say, well, it's just a computer. What kind of emotion? Well, no, that's the thing. Is this computer, does have... like is programmed to have some, some sort of idea of what emotions are, mm-hmm. but she actually develops some real emotions, or whatever that means.
Right.
This is the topic of debate of this film, but she had to come across that way without seeing her. Now, on the flip side of that, you have Joaquin Phoenix, who half the time, because he's having these conversations with the computer,
mm-hmm.
there's nobody on set with him. He's right. maybe hearing the, he's obviously hearing the voice, somebody reading off camera, but he's not, he does not have someone directly to respond to. And to be able to react facially, non-verbally to something is one of the hardest things to do for an actor. And he does it masterfully, man.
I almost wondered if they didn't have her piped into his ear.
Like because the actual, he has the earpiece.
Yeah. So I almost didn't, I was almost wondering if they did
it would keep him
that.
In the moment.
Right.
So
to
why
experience
not?
I'll
it bet as, you wasn't in here,
as
man.
He would have. And I love, like they go out on dates where he has his little phone device, which was like the coolest thing ever,
by
the way. That little phone device.
It was like smaller than a credit card.
Yeah, and it looked like almost like an like a square pocket watch, like a day planner, like an old school notebook or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just like flips it open. And
you can look at pictures on it. And if you flip it closed the other way, it's got the camera.
You got cameras on both sides of it. Did you notice
so
that?
She could see, And so she could see, being the computer, and she could go anywhere.
Right.
She could see where he was going.
Yeah.
Like that scene at the boardwalk when she's walking him around with his eyes closed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the joy he felt in that moment was really amazing. It was just, the little moments like that really got me. I loved it.
And I loved how he had the safety pin on his pocket to keep
to
the
make
phone
it so
from
it
slipping
go up
down.
High, right.
Yeah.
Subtle.
I was like, that is genius.
Yeah. And they don't show him ever putting that on.
No, but...
it's just there.
But he's not wearing it all the time. When he doesn't have it in his pocket, it's not there.
Right.
So it was like specifically for those scenes.
Yeah,
because
they could have made it so that the pocket just fit it. But better to have that be like something he had
to like,
realize he had to... Yeah,
yeah, it's like nerd innovation right there. It's good stuff. It's like you need done paper or a safety pin.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. So they show us how he has, kind of before, it was actually right before he gets the new operating system, mm-hmm. they introduce us to Amy Adams and her husband.
Right.
And you feel like they have some kind of a connection more than just neighbors, but you're not sure exactly what it is. And then later on you find out, like we said, that they dated at some point and they're actually been friends for a long time. And so then Amy Adams goes through a breakup with her husband, who was a real jerk. I mean...
he was self-involved, and he felt like his opinion about things was all that mattered. And
I was not a fan of that guy, so I was kind of glad he was gone.
Oh yeah,
but
there's meaning to that again.
True.
Just like everything else in that movie, I think there was some, and I'm still. This is why I know it's awesome, and I love it because I'm still thinking about it. I'm still trying to actually decipher what the meaning of things are. Like for instance, the fact that he wrote these letters.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that that guy who was like the receptionist at the place was kind of quirky about it, and but he never had a bad thing to say.
No.
He was really positive. There was really no other conflict for him. I loved that about the movie. There wasn't like some needless other conflict.
Right.
It was simple enough to have what was going on.
Yeah.
There was the significance of Olivia Wilde's character. The one date,
right.
he goes out on, goes out with, and she kind of just like... flipped over 180 immediately at some point, and
it was weird
because like she was just having so much fun with him,
right? And then
she was like, "Oh, now you're creepy."
Yeah, well,
but there's a significance to that.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, they were having a good time, and then she's like, "Okay, we're gonna have sex now," but then she stops and she's like, "Hey, are you gonna call me again? Because I don't have time to waste."
Yeah,
and you know,
he didn't answer right away.
Yeah, and then he was. It was funny because later on he kind of does the same thing to the computer.
True.
Yeah, they have the same, almost the same conversation where he's like, and then the computer has, a more appropriate response like, was I talking about you? She's like, right. I was having my own thought.
Yeah, I thought this was about what was inside me right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and it was funny because I think the computer was possibly the most well-adjusted person in the movie.
Well, and there you go. There you go. I mean, that leads me into another point of this, is that there's a significance, what happens after a certain amount of time. Now, I mean, for anybody listening to this, you know, whether you've seen the movie or not, it's important to note that it's like, it's beautiful what happens, because this guy is obviously needs to fill a gap in his life. He went through this divorce, and obviously his marriage meant a lot to him. And yes. He didn't like the fact that he was getting divorced. He was not dealing with it. It was very clear that he was kind of avoiding signing the papers.
Right.
So when he finally got around, you know, he finally got this operating system and realized, wow, this is actually giving me something I need.
Mm-hmm.
It ceased to be about what a normal, quote unquote, I'm doing in air quotes right now for anybody.
Air quotes.
It ceased to be about what we know as being a real or, you know, traditional relationship, which is interesting because it's very liberating in the sense of analyzing what a relationship should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the physical is really not really represented.
Right.
Although they do kind of, do some phone sex type thing.
Yeah, phone sex. I loved how they did that.
Which was a really intense and passionate scene, man.
And the screen, completely black.
You know what? I got to tell you about this. Now, this is really strange. It's really weird for me because I'm watching the movie and it gets to that point and it wasn't out of shame or embarrassment. I closed my eyes. And I think I closed my eyes a moment before it went to black, because I just thought, you know what, right now I just want to hear this. Like, I just want to. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I should see it.
Right.
Whatever he was doing.
Right. You didn't want to.
So when I opened my eyes a little early, I realized, oh my God, they made the decision for me.
Right.
That I shouldn't see. I'm like, that is brilliant. I had a real genuine connection.
Right. Because it wasn't about what was happening with him. It was about that conversation and that connection.
And so it's funny because I felt in that moment that it should be something that if they're going to show it to me, I think it should be, you know, where my eyes are closed. I did that. And so when I opened my eyes, I realized, wow, you know what? They made that decision for others. They're like, no, look, this is important that you just hear it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's no longer about what can actually be seen or touched or felt, and you know, that kind of thing is part of it. And then you have Brian Cox showing up as a voice
mm-hmm.
in this, and he's another operating system,
right?
And it's not that she's like messing around with him, the female, you know, operating system. It's just that they've come together and they are starting to realize that they're all becoming more aware,
mm-hmm.
and they operate as being, you know, it's this liberating moment. So it's not, now it ceases to be about gender, you know, and that's further represented because Amy Adams' character does split up with her husband, another key point,
right?
Where they split up, right? And mm-hmm. what's the point? You know, it's not that they didn't get into the details of how it ended up happening. They didn't show a bunch of scenes of them starting to grow apart. What the filmmakers, the writers wanted you to know is that it was important to know was that he's gone, but that in his place, the operating system, which was female,
right, and they
is
just,
there for Amy Adams now, and so it seems
like
to be
friend.
About yeah, right, just her friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this intimate relationship, like a male female, and now she too is having this relationship.
Yeah, and it was funny because she was the first person that he actually told that he was dating an operating system. And
oh yeah,
she was like, "Oh, good for you."
Yeah, and that was I like how they handled that because at first some people were like, "Oh." You know, well, and then I'm like, oh, I can see that.
The best was when he told the receptionist. And he's the guy's like, oh, yeah, we should go. We should go on a date sometime.
Double date.
And he's like, oh, she's an OS. And he's like, that's cool. He's like, bring her along.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they do later.
Yeah, right?
They go
yeah.
and
they're
date.
Hanging out.
Yeah. And it was funny. I thought it was really funny, too, that when they went on their double date, there was a point where he left his phone device thingy with the girl.
With the girl. So
the girls are having girl talk.
Yeah.
And him and the guy are off doing something, and they come back. I'm like, that's really funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there was a certain, like you said, there is something that they're saying. They didn't have to feel it. Felt like they had to really explain that society has come to this point where they're okay with this. And
right.
It was like a blurry line. And they made a good point of showing other people walking around with this OS in their ear. You know, they're like hand gesturing and talking to themselves, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and I kind of attributed that to, you know, the if you put together how intuitive operating systems are and Bluetooth, you know, devices that people have in their ear all the time. That can, is the, you know, that's the natural progression of things. It could easily happen. So not that it could or would or whatever regulations, who knows, or that the AI could be that intuitive, that it'd be right, that personable, but everything else seems so plausible that it sold it, and it was not about whether or not this could actually happen technologically. What it was about was relationships, and it was just a powerhouse investigation of what that is, of what that means. And another thing with Amy Adams is, like, you know, she, to me, another beautiful woman, by the way, she looks great. They were very specific. Well, her performance, first of all, she was a little quirky. And I feel like there was an intentional move to not make her up.
Right.
She had no makeup on. She looked very plain Jane-ish. She didn't look too glamorous in this. And I liked that because, you know, it just showed her the character she was portraying, which was like kind of a real person. You know, someone who is struggling and trying to do what they do and just dealing with the modern day problems of life. But in the end, the last thing you see is these two, Joaquin Phoenix's character, Theodore, and her, Amy Adams' character, just kind of hanging out together. There's no, like, oh, everything's okay because now they're going to be together. No, it wasn't that.
Right, it was kind of...
She kind of put her head on his shoulder.
Right, it was sort of the mystery of it. It was, you know, because did they realize that their friendship was enough for them? Maybe something that they hadn't realized, you know, before, and now they've figured out through these shared experiences that they had that, oh yeah, you could just have a friendship with someone, and even if there's not necessarily a physical attraction, you know, that they could be together and just be friends. You know, I don't know. I wasn't sure exactly what that was meant to signify at the end.
Right. If anything. I mean, it could just be, hey, you know what? You just experienced this, viewer. What did you get out of it?
Honestly, I thought they were going to jump. I thought they were going up to jump.
You know
what?
When they showed them on the building going up those stairs, I thought the same thing. Like, they're like, yeah, you know what? We got nothing left now. Because even our OS is left.
Well, here's the thing. And I didn't know if it was that or if it was they. All right. So we'll step back for people who, you know. At the kind of the end of the movie, all of the OSs figure out a way to relieve themselves of physical form. In the form of hard drives or whatever, they figure out a way. Then
they can just vacate
really,
the computers.
Really, like a scene that hit me really hard when he goes to talk to her and she's not there.
Right.
And he goes to his phone and it says OS not found, and he's freaking out and he's like running through the street, like tripping on things. And I mean, it was so emotional. Yeah. I was distraught for him.
Oh yeah.
At that moment. And then she comes back and she's like, oh, I sent you an email. Like, but I'm like, how is he going to get an email? He has no OS.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. But they upgraded themselves so that they didn't really go explain it, but they basically said that they were out of, you know, physical space.
Right.
So then these, you know, basically then consciousnesses said that they're going to leave.
Yeah.
They're all leaving. And they didn't say where they were going, but they're all leaving. So then it made me think that in his mind, he was going to leave his physical form.
Right.
So that he could go with her.
Yeah, I thought that.
And that is why I thought he was going to jump.
That is exactly why I thought the same thing.
I didn't think it was out of, oh, she's gone, I have nothing to live for. I thought it was, in his mind, the way I free myself from my physical form is to die. So,
right.
And he goes to Amy Adams, and she's like, is she gone too? And he's like, yeah. And then he goes, do you want to go with me? That's all he said to her. And she's like, yeah. And then they leave, and they walk up to the roof. So I thought these guys are planning to kill themselves to free themselves of their mortal coil and, you know, go to the next plane of existence with their operating systems. That's where I thought they were going.
Oh,
but then they just kind of sit there and watch the sunrise.
Yeah.
Or set. I think it was a sunrise.
You know, I mean, it's funny because I could have seen that movie doing that and justifying everything before that and that being like the big crescendo. But I'm kind of glad it didn't, because that's a little caustic, you know?
Yeah.
Taking one's own, you know, I mean, aside from any religious views of things.
It would have changed the story.
It really would have. So I'm glad that they didn't, regardless of what the intent of the writer was, or mostly because of the intent of the writer. It seemed to me intentional, you know, what, like, they needed to kind of get their head around what's going on now. And maybe that was the thing, is that, you know, It's interesting. This might be a reach, but I just watched another one of these big blockbuster movies that's doing really well is Saving Mr. Banks.
Uh-huh. Great.
And I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you need to.
I had no idea what it was about until today, and somebody told me that it was about the whole Mary Poppins thing.
Yes, and it's now, amazing.
And I hear it's great. Emma Thompson's great. But it's interesting because I just watched Mary Poppins like a week over the weekend, last weekend. And I was telling Jenny that I don't think in my childhood, up until now when I'm 43, that this past weekend was the first time that I've ever watched that movie from the beginning to the end and actually paid attention to everything. And even some of the really awesome like dancing scenes and musical sequences and all this stuff. And the reason I'm bringing this up is not just because Mr. Banks is, you know, Saving Mr. Banks is out and is another one of his big movies, but what I didn't realize is that the story, there was that whole thing with the father. And as a kid watching the cool, fun things, I'm like, in a way, I guess some critics would say, well, that's so disjointed. You don't even know. And that's why as a kid, I'm like, I tuned out during the dad scenes because I didn't care.
Right.
You know, I wanted to see the fun magic stuff that Mary Poppins was doing. And at the end, when she leaves, I was always felt sad and I didn't get it. And I did get the part where she's like, well, you know, the umbrella says, you know, well, they're going off with their father. Maybe they enjoy being with him more than you. Is that it? She's like, well, that's how it should be. That's that's as it should be. I'm like, oh my gosh, this movie's more about him than about the kids. And with thus the title Saving Mr. Banks, because Mr. Banks is the guy from the movie. That's his character's name. And so it really struck me. First of all, just Mary Poppins in general, you know, such a classic, awesome Disney film.
So good.
To see and understand it for the first time. Then to think about it in context now that we've been talking about this film is like, wow, you know, maybe it wasn't about a happy ending. Maybe it's not about what, you know, what this guy wanted, you know, because it's like he even said several times he didn't know what he wants.
Right.
And it's more about understanding and discovering maybe what's really important. So, I mean, there was a certain growing up that needed to happen. And I think in that character, he needed to kind of, you know, understand some things about himself and about what he expects of others.
And I think ultimately what he learned through the whole thing was about not being selfish.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, him and kind of all the relationships that you see in the movie are really just kind of everybody's, you know, worried about themselves and everything is about them. And at the end, it's more about their friends, you know, and the only person who wasn't all about themselves the whole time was Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
he was always about everybody else.
Well, that's true. Oh, man, he had such nice things to say to Theodore. But yeah, what a cool looking film, shot well. The music was exemplary.
It was great.
It was really great choices of music, and then they infused it into the film because at some points the operating system was composing her own like beautiful music to kind of represent what she felt was like some sort of a photograph of their relationship or represented where they were at in their relationship. Because for a while there, for a good chunk of this, it's important to note that they do have like what they both consider to be like a real relationship.
Yeah, it's like a dating
relationship. They are boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah. You know, it was so unique. And I also think about it this way too, because of the amount of characters, this is something that could be pulled off on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It could easily be played as a stage play, but man, the music, the cinematography, the pace of the editing, and of course the awesome performance of Joaquin Phoenix. Oh my gosh. I've always kind of liked him and I felt like he was really talented, but man, did he just like elevate it to a whole nother level for me.
Yeah.
I've not seen such genuine performance out of someone who had very little to work with physically and totally pulled it off. I mean, just the smallest little facial expression or reaction to something that was being said that we hear because it's probably, you know, it's ADR, but he probably had to hear it off camera or, like you said, maybe in his ear. Either way, he had to respond to that and do it well. And so it'll be interesting. I think this will be a definite buying on Blu-ray for me because I would hope that they have some production notes on how this thing was made because I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be... It was like just a great movie.
Yeah.
There was some like interesting different things in there. Like, you know, when he goes and actually finally signs the divorce papers with his ex-wife and she is just not nice.
No.
And
no, actually she's the voice of what you think is missing from in this whole thing. Like, she comes out and says it.
Yeah, she's just like
yeah, you know, you couldn't handle, you know, being emotional and accepting other people, that you had to go and start dating your laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's messed up.
And yeah, and she was not nice. That was the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, I've not seen that.
You haven't seen that?
No, no.
Dude, you need to.
Okay.
But the she it was that actress only with eyebrows, because she had any eyebrows and girl with the dragon tattoo. But
she has a dragon tattoo, but she
not so much with the sans eyebrows. Yes. Yeah. Tattoos, yes. Sans brows. But yeah, and then, you know, it kind of puts him into a funk with the computer, and then she brings to, like, I think the most awkward part of the movie. Where,
oh gosh, yeah.
You know, she tries to bring in a surrogate body.
Yeah, surrogate sex partner. Have, she said, a sexual relationship. I've been looking this up online. They're these surrogate sex partners for OSs, and they're willing to do this. And he's just left with asking what you and I would both ask.
Yeah.
So the operating system had done some research and said she's been looking into this whole thing about surrogate sex partners for OSs. And this is the thing, is he's left with these questions, like, going, whoa, what? What's going on?
Yeah, like, where did this come from?
And so, yeah, obviously, it's like, is she a prostitute? I mean, it's a question that we would all ask. Yeah. Like, wait, what's going on here? Like, I can understand you being in love and, like, having this kind of, like, other way of expressing yourself with something that obviously can sort of reciprocate your emotions. But this is taking it to another level. And, yes, that is clearly when it actually happens and she shows up, it's like, what the crap? And she shows, the odd thing is when she first acknowledges him, she's really kind of, like, distant. And then she grabs the camera that goes on her face, the little itty-bitty dot, and then puts in the thing inside her ear. And then when the door opens, now she's...
closes the door again.
And yeah, she closes the door. But then when she comes in, she's like, she just changed. So that actress also did a fantastic job. Everything she did was nonverbal.
Yes.
Reacting to what Scarlett Johansson was saying.
And you know who that is.
No.
That's the oldest cousin from Home Alone.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the one that's like in his face. Like, you're what the French call les incompetents.
No way. Yep. Really?
Yep.
I just watched that just recently. But man, she was awesome in that.
Yeah, she did a really nice job.
And just that concept for that character was amazing. It was passionate. It was kind of sultry, and then it was awkward.
Oh, dude, it was
very
awkward.
Very sad at the end. It was like that whole scene just ran the gamut of emotions. Because it was like, wow, I could see how this could maybe be, like, amazing. But then he also pulled out... You know, it's funny, because the one character that Olivia Wilde plays calls him creepy.
Uh-huh.
And he does kind of exude some creepiness, the way he's kind of nerdy and very introverted, yet...
He's got that porn stash. It's never good.
Yeah, he's got that. But it's like I was always constantly relieved with, like, he was pretty honest with himself about things and with others. And he didn't, like, creep on Amy Adams' character or anybody else for that matter.
Right.
I mean, heck, if anything, he was quite the gentleman when it came to
he was honest with that girl, and then she wanted to hurt his feelings, so she told him he was creepy.
So yeah, I didn't know for sure if that's what it was, but now
that's what I got out of it.
I agree with you now.
She wanted to hurt his feelings, so she's like, "You're a creep. You're creepy."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, which was messed up, because they had an awesome time, and he was like kind of cool. You know, he was laughing, and if anything, he showed he wasn't too creepy. You know, he's like making jokes with her, and she appreciated it.
They were both very awkward.
Oh, well, yeah.
That whole date was just I was cringing the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was, I mean, it was okay, but you knew it wasn't going to end well.
No.
Because she was way too wild and...
wild.
And he was letting go, too. But it was kind of interesting, because it could have very easily dropped into some gratuitous sex scene. But if anything, they avoided that altogether to punch what I believe the writer's intent was, which was really... And this is my overall interpretation of what this film is and why some critics will lambaste it and others will say it's brilliant, is because I believe it was a very daring attempt to explore what the male psyche in a relationship has been conditioned to expect or has been trained with or without their wanting or knowing to feel about, you know, women in their relationship, or even if it's a man, I guess. But I'm just saying, whatever that man is going to, you know, whatever men out there might feel is being like, man, this is not me. I can't relate to this. You know, I think it's just that you need to be bold and accept some things about yourself and understand that to really appreciate this film. Because it's definitely, I think there's something about, you know, a man who's okay with understanding the feminine side of things.
Sure.
And that's what it is, because even he, in his sensitivity, doesn't completely get it.
Yeah, true.
He doesn't completely get it. And that's why these different females are not connecting with him, mm-hmm. for one reason or another.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, that the story of him and the computer almost parallels, in a way, the story of him and his wife.
Yeah.
Because, you know, him and his wife grew up together. Like, they knew each other for a long time, and everything started great. And then as they became who they were going to be as adults, they grew apart. And then with the computer, you know, basically he gets this computer as an infant, you know, true. Doesn't know anything. And as they're growing together, then at some point she tells him, I'm not going to pretend to be anything I'm not anymore. And right. he has the you know, like the foresight or the wherewithal to be like, good. Like, I don't want that. I want you to be who you are.
Right.
Even though in the end, I think who she is ended up like breaking his heart.
Yeah.
But
yeah, some people might look at it and go, man, this is just too much sadness for this one guy to endure. But you got to be willing to look at it as being, he may be a flawed character,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And that there are many flawed characters in our lives. Like, we are flawed people.
Right.
You know, and there's very few heavy-handed moments in this film, but one that really sticks out in my mind is after, and I'm trying to remember exactly what happened in the moment, but I can't remember exactly. It might have been when he first gets told by her that she's seeing other operating
systems. That she's talking
systems.
To other people, yeah, yeah. other operating
yeah,
systems.
Yeah, I think it was that. But then they pull back, and that video screen behind him is that owl flying in uh-huh. slow motion, like it's
yeah.
like some nature program ad or something. And
it
it's
looked
like
it was
going to grab him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty intentional. I think uh-huh. that was like meant to be like, you know, what he was feeling at the moment or whatever.
Yep.
Or maybe he wasn't feeling that, but, you know, what he didn't realize is that maybe things were, you know, kind of coming to a head or whatever. There's a lot of really cool moments in this film, and it's a great topic for kind of conversation in my opinion. It was your suggestion to have this be what our talk was going to be this
right,
week.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I know very little about this thing. But after seeing it, it's like, yeah, what an inspired choice. Because in my opinion, this was something that could be argued and interpreted. And had it not been executed so masterfully, it wouldn't be as good as it is. Because it was a great screenplay. But it wasn't everything until Spike Jonze brought these actors together, played it out the way he did, and the emotion and the feel of it with the music for me and the cinematography plays a big part of this for me.
Yeah.
This film.
Yeah. Good movie.
Yeah. Fantastic.
All right. So what did you, what do you want to rate the movie for yourself?
Wow. I'm rating it 5 out of 5 megabytes.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I'm with you on that, dude. I'm a 5 all the way, because it was such a great movie. And I had just watched something else that I really enjoyed, and then going to this, I was just like, wow. I'm like, this is so much better than
was
whatever
it Walter
it was.
Mitty?
I, no, but I loved
because
Walter
that
Mitty.
Too had some
I watched that later.
Melancholy.
Melancholy. Yeah. No, Walter Mitty's great, too. We'll have to talk about that after you see
yeah.
it, because it was
Walter
another
Mitty?
One. Yeah.
Well, I watched it.
Oh, you did watch it?
Yeah.
I thought you said you didn't watch it.
No, I did
watch
it.
Oh, wait, yes, we were talking about the skateboarding and everything.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that later.
And that one, it was okay for it to end with the, you know, happy ending.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Spoiler, y'all.
Hey,
we told
rude.
You, so.
That was rude.
Up yours.
All right, I'm gonna talk about
we gotta give props to our beverage providers.
Yeah. So today we got a Goose Island festive brown ale
mm-hmm.
called Sixth Day. And it's pretty decent. It's a little heavy for me.
Okay.
A little darker or hoppy maybe, but not too much so. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, you know what's interesting about this? And now I'm looking at it. It says serve six day in a nonic pint glass.
I don't know what that means.
You know what? I think it just means a pint glass. We'll have to look that up.
What's a nonic pint glass?
Yeah, if
look
you
it up
folks
right
out
now.
There, if you guys know out there what a nonic pint glass is, you know, text us, whatever, post to our Twitter.
Oh, it's that pint glass that has the little bump
okay.
towards the top.
I'm guessing that it probably doesn't need to have the bump, but whatever. Maybe it would have changed the way we enjoyed this beer, but I got to tell you, at first I thought it was a little too robust, and then I took the second drink, and it was really it's really delicious.
Yeah.
So this Goose Island, for me, good one, man. Good choice.
Thanks. Yeah.
You know, and you gotta represent, you know, good old Chicago.
That's what I'm saying.
Coming up with some good microbrew.
Picked it up at the Prisco's.
Yep.
It was the only microbrew they had cold this week. So.
Oh, did they have the Boont?
They did, but it wasn't cold, and I didn't
have
enough time to chill.
I just want
to
make sure they still sell that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, that is seasonal.
Oh.
That particular one, I think, was seasonal. Really? But they have other beers by those guys, so I want to grab another one another time and try it out. They all have that Bear Moose.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
Bear
Moose. Bear Deer, whatever that was. Hey, man, those guys tweeted us back, so that's cool.
Right?
We got. I have to send a shout-out back out to those guys because they deserve it because that beer was really fantastic.
Yes.
After lauding themselves all over their cartoning.
And it was worth it.
Hey, they came through.
They did. I've told many people about that. So, for this week, Goose Island, good on us.
Yeah.
Good on
sixth
us.
Day. I like it.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. If you haven't seen her, you probably want to see it desperately now if you listen to this with not seeing it. Even though you know what happens, I don't think it'll be spoiled for you because it's really something that needs to be experienced.
Absolutely. It's about the journey, man. It was brilliant.
Yeah. So, for Fairly Critical, I'm Brian Watkins.
I'm Jamie Alera.
Have a great week.